You'll turn with me to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 13. Mark 13, beginning in verse 24. I'll give you a second to find it. Once you do, if you'll stand with me to honor His holy word. Mark 13, 24. Mark 13, 24, the Lord says, "But in those days after the suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. They will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then He will send out the angels and gather His elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heaven." Verse 28, "From the fig tree learn this lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that He is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will not pass away." Verse 32, "But about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey, when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evenings, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word, that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. We can trust it. It's on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, the living word. Help it to pierce our hearts, that we may more fully trust You and love You and magnify Thy holy name. Give me the words I should preach this morning. Help us all to be open to You and Your Spirit every day of our lives. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. We come here to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13. And if you'll go with me to verse 1 of chapter 13, because this, what we just read here in our lectionary reading today, is the latter portion. Jesus was answering two questions that was posed to Him. If you read back here, chapter 12, Christ is teaching about the greatest of all commandments, about the resurrection, the widow's wonderful offering in the temple. And in verse 1 of chapter 13, He says, "As He came out of the temple, He departed from the temple. One of His disciples said to Him, 'Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings.'" Verse 2, "Then Jesus asked him, 'Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down.'" Christ gave this prediction about the second temple. And the second temple is interesting. If you read back in the Old Testament prophets, you'll read about the first temple and how the Holy Ghost engulfed it and went right in that thing. And God's presence was there until, if you read in the book of Ezekiel, so much wickedness had taken place in the first temple. So much sin was allowed there that the Holy Spirit departed. It departed from the temple. Ezekiel saw it and it left away. Then God allowed Jerusalem to be destroyed, Israel taken captive. Later on down the road, when they came back, they built the second temple. And we talk about this temple here. Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." We know from the scriptures that we ourselves now are the temple of the Holy Ghost. In verse 3, "When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately." This parallels with Luke 21 and Matthew 24, the Olivet Discourse. And he says here in verse 4, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Notice here, they ask two questions. Tell us, when will this be? When is the temple going to be destroyed? And he says, "And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" When is Jesus coming back? Verse 5, "Then Jesus began to say to them, 'Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, I am he.'" And that happened back in them days. It's happened this very day. He said, "Nay, will lead many astray." But we, as God's children, need to be careful that no one leads us astray. We have the word of God to show us what's right and wrong. Thus saith the Lord to guide us in our life. He says here, and they will lead many astray. In verse 7, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. There's been wars, rumors of wars back in those days, all the way today. In verse 8, for nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs. It's just the very start of the whole world being birthed. The new creation, the new heavens, and the new earth takes time. Verse 9, as for yourselves, he's telling us about all these things that are going to take place, took place for them, it's taking place today. Verse 9, as for yourselves, beware, for they will hand you over to the councils, and you will be beaten in the synagogues. And this came to pass. They were kicked out of the synagogues, they're beaten out. There's not, truly nothing new under the sun, for if you read the history of Methodism, John Wesley did the same thing. He was kicked out of every church in England, barred from the pulpit, so he went and preached out there. It happens to the disciples of Jesus Christ over and over. Jesus warned us, we need to be prepared. You will stand before the governors and kings because of me, as a testimony of them. Verse 10, and the good news must first be proclaimed to all nations. When they bring you to trial and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you are to say, but say whatever is given you at that time. For it is not you that speak, but the Holy Spirit. We can trust the Holy Spirit to guide our words everywhere we go, no matter what's going on. He says here, brother will betray brother to death, and father his child. Excuse me. And father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. He's telling this to them. As for yourselves, beware. If you notice who he's speaking to, he said Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately. Peter was crucified upside down on a cross. That's why it's called a St. Peter's cross, an inverted cross. James was stoned and then beaten to death. John was the one, only of the apostles to live through an old age. It was said that when they bring him to the church councils in his 90s, he could barely speak. He'd say, my little children love one another. But old Andrew, he was crucified on a cross that looks like an X, like you have on the Scottish flag over there in the modern-day Russia. As for yourselves, beware. He told them beforehand. He told them what was going to happen. They needed to be prepared. We too need to be prepared, no matter what goes on in this world, to serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing, to serve him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. There's so many. I've heard it said before, if it is illegal to be a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Is there enough evidence in our lives? Are we living for the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength? Or is it a halfway? Or as John Wesley preached before in his sermon, an almost Christian. Old Paul, when he was preaching to King Agrippa, he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. What a sad thing to be an almost Christian, a halfway Christian, not all the way there, not knowing the Lord. Latter part of verse 13 says, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. That's what Revelation tells us. The one who endures to the end will be given the crown of life to rule with Jesus Christ, will be with him as the eternal family of God. The one who endures to the end will be saved. In verse 14, he tells us another thing for the disciples to look out for. But when you see the desolating sacrilege set up where it ought not to be, he says, let the reader understand. He's quoting from Daniel 9:27 and 11 and 12. It's mentioned thrice in the book of Daniel, three times, where it ought not to be. Then those in Judea must flee to the mountains. It was set up back in, I believe it was 167 or 168 BC. They sacrificed a pig on the altar, did all these things. That was very close. It's written in the apocryphal book of Maccabees. You can read about it. Some Bibles have those. That was very fresh in the Jewish people's mind, marching into the temple and desecrating it, the desecration, desolating sacrilege that happened. But Jesus was speaking of something else that would soon pass. Let the reader understand, then those in Judea must flee to the mountains. When the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, notice here it says, set up where it ought not to be, standing right there, as it says in the other Gospels, it's standing. Titus walked into the Holy of Holies at the temple with his banner and his pagan banners and desolated the temple once again. We need to be careful as God's children. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. There's that desolate and sacrilege that happened twice in that old temple, happened a bunch in the older temple. We need to be careful that we don't allow desolating sacrileges in our life. We need to be enduring to the end to be saved. We need to be living in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. Only by the blood of Jesus can we do this. Only by faith in Him. In verse 15, someone on the housetop must not come down. As notice you said in verse latter of 14, those in Judea must flee to the mountains. They did in 70 AD when the temple was destroyed. The Christians left because they believed Jesus Christ. They believed what Christ said was going to happen. We need to be careful to be like that. Be like those when they saw the prophecies coming true. They saw what Jesus said. Those in the Judea must flee the mountains when they see this. Some on the housetop must not come down or enter the house to take anything away. Some in the field must not turn back to get a coat. You got to go quick. Just when Jesus comes back, we can't turn back and pick up stuff to take with us. They couldn't then either. Verse 17, woe to those who are pregnant in those days, who are nursing infants in those days. Pray that it be not in winter. All these things would make it difficult for them to leave Jerusalem. As they did, went to Pella, it talks about. For in those days there will be suffering such as not been from the beginning of creation, that God created until now. And if the Lord had not cut short those days, no one would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, that's God's children whom He chose, He has cut short those days. If anyone says to you at that time, look, here's the Messiah. Look, there He is. Don't believe Him. 22, false messiahs and false prophets will appear and produce signs and omens to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But be alert. Over and over, Christ is telling us to be alert. I've already told you everything. He told those apostles there to be alert. He told you beforehand. He said, I've already told you everything. Be alert. Praise God, they were alert for it. They saw it coming through. They saw it coming forth. We too need to be alert for the latter part. They asked Him two questions. First one was, when was the temple going to be destroyed? The second one applies even greater to us. When will He come back? Verse 24, but in those days, after that suffering, they're suffering in this time, they're suffering all over. A lot of times we can forget, here in this great country we live in, look at this blessing we have. Gathering here together, some of us inside, we even have the luxury to have it over the radio for people outside. Glory to God for what He's given us here. Over in China, they don't have these luxuries. Over there in these other places, they don't have the luxuries. We may not have this luxury down the road here in this country. We need to be thankful for what God has given us, but not forget. There are many sufferings today. We need to be praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ. But we too should be prepared at moment's notice to suffer for Jesus Christ. What do we hold most dear to our hearts? Do we hold Him most dear? Would we cling to Him before anything? Would we cling to Him closer than our very lives? If we lived over in China or these places, they're dragging people out and killing them for their faith because they believe in Jesus Christ. They've trusted in Him because there's nothing more valuable than Him. Are we going to be that faithful? Be thou faithful in the end, I'll give thee a crown of life. We need to be faithful to the Lord. Help us to, Father. But in those days, after the suffering, saints will be during the suffering of this time, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Verse 26, then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. When Jesus comes back, we talked a little bit about Jesus coming back last week, and we see here again when He tells us the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, with His great power and glory, for He's the King of kings, the Lord of lords, He's the King of all things, the Creator of the world. We can trust Him. We can know, just as Jesus said, don't fear those that can harm the body and after that can't do anything, but fear Him who after the body is gone can cast the soul into hell. We need to fear God, believe Him, trust Him. Know that He's our Heavenly Father, not reject His ways, but know His ways are higher than our ways. His plans are better than ours. They will see the Son of Man coming in clouds. We may see it this morning, who knows? Or it may be 100 years from now, with great power and glory. Verse 27, then He will send out the angels and gather His elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. He'll gather them all together. He'll gather us all together. That grand reunion. Verse 28, from the fig tree, learn this lesson. As soon as its branches becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. You know it's coming. It's not going to do that in the wintertime. It's not going to just do that just because. You know every time, learn this lesson. As soon as it becomes tender, it puts forth its leaves. You know that summer is near. Verse 29, so also when you see these things taking place, you know that He is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. That generation didn't pass away. The temple was destroyed, even though the Jews didn't believe it. They said nothing could tear that down. But it was. They lived to see it. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. His answer to that twofold question, the first part, came true. They believed it. We need to believe it and live on it and trust it, knowing that Jesus is coming back, knowing that we can put our faith in Him every day. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Isn't that a glorious thing? Heaven and earth are going to be gone. You know, even heaven is where sin starts, where the devil rebelled and was cast out. It will pass away. The earth will be burned up, Peter tells us, and we'll all live in the new, restored creation of which Jesus Christ and His children, us, we are the first fruits of the new creation. We're born again in the family of God. The old ways are passed away, just as heaven and earth will. But His words will not pass away. He says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Yea, I upheld thee with my right hand." God's redeemed us for His children. His words won't pass away. We can trust Him. But in verse 32 He says, "But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." Nobody knows the day. Verse 33, "Beware, keep alert." Keep alert. Or I like how the King James puts it, keep watch. Like he says here, keep alert. We need to be alert, looking about. "For you do not know when the time will come." We don't know when the time will come. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We need to be prepared for tomorrow, living for God right now. Today's the only day we've got to live for the Lord. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge. Notice here, Jesus ascended to heaven from the Mount of Olives. He put us, His children, His servants, the sheep of His pasture, He put us in charge. He said He gives the church the keys to the kingdom of heaven. We have what such a great responsibility, not just as we spoke about last week, about supplying and helping needs physically, but so much we have the need spiritually to share Jesus Christ with those around us. He's like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work. We've all got our work to do. We all have our task at hand. But notice here, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Our task is at hand. It's right here, within grasp. We need to live for the Lord, and commands a doorkeeper to be on the watch. Now, we'll be right back here in just a moment. We're going to skip over here to the Old Testament, to the prophet of Ezekiel. Excuse me. Ezekiel tells us in 33 that the word of the Lord came to him. Ezekiel 33, verse 2, it says, "O mortal, speak to your people and say to them, if I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take one of their number as their sentinel, as their watchman," as King James puts it, verse 3, "and if the sentinel sees the sword coming upon the land and blows the trumpet and warns the people, then if any who hear the sound of trumpet do not take the warning, and the sword comes and takes them away, their blood shall be upon their own heads." We're celebrating the first Sunday of Advent. If we'll read back in the old church calendars, even at ours to this very day, Advent, we're talking, it lines up with Christmas, with the first advent of Jesus Christ when He came. You've noticed, it was a time of teaching about the latter day, the second coming of Jesus Christ, whenever He shall come back, and time shall be no more. It was a day of preparation for the early church. They had the preparation of Lent for baptism on Easter Day. Then they added, later on, Advent, a preparation of baptism. It's symbolic of preparing for the days of the Lord, preparing for the Lord to come back. We carry on that tradition, and what a glorious thing it is. We need to be preparing. He says here, "And if a sentinel sees the sword coming upon the land," that's me and you. We're the watchmen. We're the sentinels for the word of the Lord. Verse 4, "Then if any who hear the sound of the trumpet and do not take the warning, when the sword comes and takes them away, their blood shall be upon their own heads." Verse 5 tells us, "They heard the sound of the trumpet and did not take the warning, their blood shall be upon themselves. But if they had taken warning, they would have saved their lives." They would have saved their eternal lives. Verse 6, "But if the sentinel sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet," back in those days, you saw the swords coming, you saw the invading army, you'd blow the trumpet. No doubt when they compassed about Jerusalem, they blew the trumpets, warning signs. "But if the sentinel," that's the watchman, "sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, so that the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any of them, they are taken away in their iniquity, but their blood I will require at the sentinel's hand. What a thing we have to do as God's children. What a responsibility we have as we bear the word of the Lord as His children. We are a royal priesthood, the Bible says. There's no priesthood between us and the Lord. We're all children of God. There's no temple veil. We don't come up here and say to some priest and he goes back and gives the word to God. We go straight to God by the blood of Jesus. And we have God's word by the blood of Jesus to share. He says here, their blood I require at the sentinel's hand. If he didn't do his job, just as Christ tells us back here in the gospel we were reading, he's on his journey, gave it to his slaves. It's me and you, the servants of God. He gave us all the task to do, but every one of us has this same task. In verse 7, so you mortal, I have made a sentinel for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them a warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked ones, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from their ways, the wicked shall die in their iniquity. What a sad thing. But their blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked and turn from their ways, and they do not turn from their ways, the wicked shall die in their iniquity, but you will have saved your life. Verse 10, now you mortals say to the house of Israel, thus you have said, our transgressions and our sins weigh upon us, and we waste away because of them. How then can we live, as we've read in Isaiah and the Psalms? Verse 11, say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from their ways and live. Turn back from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? Why would you die, O house of Israel? Why would you die, anybody? Why would someone reject the Lord and turn from Him? So many do it every day. And it's a sad thing. When Christ comes back, there'll be no more time. No more time. We have time right now. You have time to turn to Him. We have time to follow Him. Remember His warning for us as His children. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. It is like a man, back in Gospel of Mark 13:34, it is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge. Ezekiel was set as a watchman, as a sentinel over Israel. We are set over that, over this place where we are given. God has appointed us, as Esther said, for just a time as this. We are given, born in this time period for a reason. We are born in this area for a reason. God has given us a life for a reason, to glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge. God has given us charge. He's given us authority, as we read the other week. The authority He's given us, cast out demons in the name of Jesus, to live for Him in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. He has set us up. He's doing this for us. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He's gone on His journey. Jesus ascended into heaven. He's coming back one day. He put His slaves in charge. He put us in charge. Let's not take that lightly, brothers and sisters. Each with His work, each with His or her work. We've all got our work to do, but every one of us has the task at hand of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. As it's translated often, the good news. This is good news. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, saith the Lord. Why would you die, O house of Israel, as we just read? God doesn't want people dying and going to hell. He wants us passing away from this world to the next to be with Him for all eternity. But He's given us the task to share it to those around us. He's given each person the task to accept it or reject it. It's not a one-time thing. We choose to accept or reject God's way every day of our lives. It's a choice we have to make. Choose ye this day whom you shall serve. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Let that be our prayer, every one of us today. He says here, each with his own work. And he says, and he commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. He commands the doorkeeper to keep in watch. Keep watch, dear Lord. Let's keep watch for the Lord. We know He's coming back. He's told us. What do you say there? Verse 23, told the apostles, but be alert. I've already told you everything. You've told us all beforehand. He's let us know what's going to happen. Be alert, he says. The doorkeeper to be on watch. In verse 35, therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come. If we're slumbering and sleeping, we're one of those sentinels back in the old days, we'd miss the army coming. They'd lay siege to the city and destroy it. We need to be staying up, watching and awaiting, seeking the ways of God. Keep awake, he says, for For you not know when the master of the house will come. Now that devil, he's got his music too. You know, it's an old tradition. We read about some of the Bible about what the devil did in heaven. That he was the choir master. Remember that? He led the music in heaven. Music's a very powerful thing. We play it to give glory to God. And looking forward to again when we can sing congregational hymns again. Music is a very, very powerful thing. But the devil, he'll send that music in sin, in ways around us, to get you sleeping, get you slumbering, and not following the Lord, where you'll just kind of sleep away through this life until it's too late. You're drifting away. Therefore, keep awake, Christ tells us, for you do not know when the master of the house will come. He can come in the evening, he says, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you sleeping. He may find you asleep, and he comes suddenly. He don't want to find us asleep, spiritually speaking. He don't want to find us asleep, not following the Lord, slumbering about, being slothful in our work for God. How would it do if we were slothful in our work, in our jobs? Some people get by with it, but so many times it doesn't end well. If we're slothful with our work for the Lord, it's not going well in our lives. It's not well in our soul. We want it to be well. When peace like a river attendeth my way, it is well with my soul, that hymn we sing. Is it well with your soul today? Are you keeping awake, keeping watch for the Lord, waking, waiting for him? For you not know when the master of the house will arrive. Is he your master? Is he truly our master? If he's our master, it's going to change how we heed these words. He was their master. He was the disciples' master. All but one of them died for their testimony of Jesus Christ. And John was on Patmos where he received revelation. Those Christians, they believed Jesus Christ. They fled Jerusalem when the first part of this prophecy was fulfilled. Brothers and sisters, are we going to be that faithful to the end? Are we going to be faithful when Jesus comes back as they were back then? We can be. We can just be just as faithful as the apostles. We can be just as faithful as Daniel was, as Noah, as these people of old were. Why is it so often that God's children don't have the power of the Holy Spirit in us that these apostles had? They said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Why is that? It's because of lack of faith so often. The apostles struggled with that before. They couldn't cast out that demon. Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith. When that centurion came, he believed God could heal his servant. He believed God could heal it, and he did. Christ said, I'll come and heal it. He said, no, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Only say the word, my soul shall be healed. Only say the word, and his servant would be healed. Christ said, I've not seen such faith, no, not in all of Israel. And that person was made whole. They were healed completely. We need to be trusting the Lord. Healing spiritually. God does healing spiritually. He's still saving souls in these latter days. He's still redeeming people every day. It's never too late to come to his throne of grace. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come. When will he come? When will he arrive? We don't know. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon, as the hymn tells us. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. Verse 37, Christ saw it fit enough to say this again. And what I say to you, I say to all. What he's speaking to the apostles, he says to all. He says, keep awake. Keep watch. Keep awake. We're the watchmen. Christ has set us for the watchmen of this world. We have the Word of God before us. We have the Word of God in our hearts. We need to share it with those around us. Because there's coming a day when you won't be able to call upon the name of the Lord. There's coming that day. As Hope predicted, the great day of the Lord, it'll be too late. Revelation 3 tells us on the church of Laodicea, the letter to them, Christ is on the outside of the church door, knocking, begging to come in. He wants to come in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you open your door, he'll come in and sup with him. How many profess Christ? And Christ is on the door of your heart, knocking, wanting to come in. Don't be stubborn. Don't be hard-hearted. Don't be as old God and Moses called them, a stiff-necked people, the children of Israel, as we can be sometimes. Let's be submissive to God and his ways and his word and share it with those around us. Because what Christ says came to pass then, and it shall come to pass now, forevermore. His word will never fade. Heaven and earth pass away. My word never fails. The Old Testament tells us the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God endures forever. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. Let's all bow our heads. I want to ask you, spiritually speaking, are you keeping awake? Are you following the Lord? Take a moment and reflect on your life. The Lord knows you deeper than anybody. His throne of grace is always open. We have a great cloud of witnesses that proves it. And He will wipe away all the tears from our eyes and take us to the New Jerusalem someday where there's no weeping nor pining. So take a moment and pray to Him. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You'll feed us with Your holy word. That, Lord, just as old Peter and Andrew and James and John asked You them questions back in those days, that Your answer stayed forth true. And, Lord, to this day it's just as true, and we can believe it. We can follow You, Lord. Help us to live our lives on that promise, knowing that You're with us wherever we go, that You're coming back again, and that we can put our trust in You. Bless each and every one of these people gathered here together, Lord. If there's anybody that's not putting their faith in You, that's not putting their trust in You, Lord, help them by the power of Your Holy Spirit to do that. Help us all to truly be on all together, all the way Christian, loving You with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength, Lord. And loving our neighbor as ourselves, Lord. And loving our neighbor enough to tell them the truth of the matter, Lord, of Your love, but also of Your coming again. We thank You, Lord, for the promise that You'll be with us as we depart from this place. Bless us all to follow You. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. What a blessing it's been to be here with you today. If you'll stand with me, let's remember that these lights represent the light of Christ that's with us everywhere.